Welcome to the Flourish Podcast, a community of ministry wives. This is a place for honest, safe conversations with guests from diverse ministry contexts, plus a little laughter along the way. So let's flourish together as leaders, wives, mothers, and missionaries of the gospel.
Welcome to the Flourish Podcast. I'm Kathy Litton, and I lead the ministry for Planters and Pastor's Wife for the North American Mission Board. We are so excited you tuned in today, and we are providing helpful resources for your journey as a spiritual leader and a pastor's wife. Today, we are going to talk about raising pastor's kids, and I have a very special guest, and she is a dear friend, and she is a pastor's wife. With lots of badges. She's been at it a little while, and she's written a book about being a pastor's wife, but her name is Susie Hawkins. Hey, Susie.
Hi, Kathy.
I just am thrilled you're here. Would you kind of tell your story to our followers? They need to know a little bit about you.
All right. my husband and I were in the pastorate for probably about 25 years, serving different sized churches from a rural church in Oklahoma, a small town in Oklahoma, and then to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and then to First Baptist Dallas. So we had pretty much a wide breadth of experience in the pastorate. He works now with Guidestone Financial Resources, which is an entity of the Southern Baptist Convention, which works with pastors on retirement and benefits and all of that. We've got two PKs, and they're both married now and have families. We've got six grandchildren. One of our daughters' husband is on a church staff, so they are in ministry. So not only am I looking at this topic, Kathy, from my perspective, but I'm also watching my daughter with her kids, mm-hmm. and kind of looking at this generation and how they are doing this and managing it. So I'm really very interested in this topic, and I've really looked forward to talking with you about it.
Well, I tell you what, I so enjoyed Barnabas Piper's book called The Pastor's Kid, and I thought it was a very helpful and honest book, and I think he has done ministry families a big favor by writing that book.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to talk with you right out of the gate is that his book, the title was called The Pastor's Kid, but the tagline was Finding Your Own Faith and Identity. And do you like that language? I mean, do you think he's identified two areas of struggle, even just in the title of the book?
Yeah, he really hit the nail on the head with that, because I think any parent of a PK would instantly look at that twice.
Yeah.
Because those are the two areas that I think PKs, and obviously he realizes as well, are so vulnerable, that they develop their own walk with Jesus, mm-hmm. and not lean into their parents' faith as their own. And then not having their primary identity as the child of blank, but finding their own purpose in the world, finding their own causes, finding their own way, becoming a productive member of the church and of our culture. And I think he really, really identified the two areas that are most important with PKs.
Yeah. You know, I didn't grow up a PK, but I do find when I talk to adults, even people my age that were raised as pastor's kids, and they still identify that about themselves, don't they, Susie? I mean, it is a powerful identity, and it's not always a bad thing, but...
No, it's not a bad thing, but, you know, it's just what's so interesting and different about the ministry is that it really is a family call in a way, you know. It's just different. You don't identify yourself as, my dad was an insurance salesman usually.
Right,
I mean,
right,
that
no.
may come up in the conversation, but there is a call really, or a unique culture. I think those are your words,
right.
Your language that you like to use for the pastor's family, mm-hmm. not just for the wife and the mom, but the child too. And so I think that's why we have to pay special attention beyond just raising children and the way to do that, but how to especially walk carefully and be wise in raising PKs.
Mm-hmm. I tell you another line that I found in Barnabas's book that just like jumped off the page. And I love when you read something that you have found to be true, but you've never put it in print. And he made this statement in his book, PKs have a complicated relationship with the church. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so true.
That is so true.
You find that to be true? And what are some ways you think it's complicated?
You know, I talked to my daughters about this when I knew we were going to discuss this because I really wanted their perspective. I have to admit, at my age, sometimes I remember things as being much more pleasant than they actually were. I choose to decide how I want to remember things. But, yeah, you know, that whole celebrity status thing that a pastor's kid has, it can be great and it can be very difficult. And I do think that's why when you're in the ministry, you're the mom, you have to kind of keep a special eye out on your kids for that very reason. Because people will say to them what they don't have the nerve to say to you.
That's right.
Or to your husband. And that's appalling, but that's another topic. But they do. And so I think to talk honestly with them about these things, the good and the bad, is very, very helpful. And I do remember in a conversation more than one with my daughter saying to them, I know some of this is a pain to you and you don't like it, but let me remind you that we are the most prayed for family in our church. People pray for you. They care about you. They love you. Always keep that in mind when you have to clench your teeth, you know, at some of the obnoxious comments that may be made to you. Because people wouldn't make it to other people's kids.
That's right.
Like they will yours.
That's right. That's right. People, you know, the complexity is like you said, people love them and people loved my children, but they also watch them. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's everything's kind of got two sides here. And, another thing that I think can make the church complex for that church steals my dad from me, church can make my dad cranky, you know?
Yeah.
And when that happens, then I think kids can misplace some angst they may have with their father and make it about the church. Does that make sense? That's very complicated what I just said, but I think it happens a lot.
Oh, it does. It does. And I will say, I do think, Kathy, these things are more challenging in smaller churches or smaller towns.
Yeah.
Because people know so much more about your business. And so I want to say that to our listeners. It is true that when you're in a metropolitan area or a larger church, that it's this is not quite as intense. But I think what you it's important to equip your children to know how to handle comments that are made, even to say, you know, I don't know anything about that. You'll have to talk to my dad about that or to just or talk to my mom about it, deflect those comments. And then also to keep an open line of communication when your children, especially when they're older and they hear what's going on in the church or criticism of their dad, to keep the lines of communication open with them and let them be angry, talk to you, let them listen to them, give them some space to vent and to express their feelings. And I want to say one thing to young moms right now. You know, a lot of raising kids and waiting for them, watching them develop spiritually, there is a lot of waiting involved. So don't freak out, you know, if they suddenly hate the church and hate everything. Just give God time to work in their hearts and just be quiet and listen to them and love them. And they will usually end up on the right side.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good piece of advice because I'm, especially if you're moving forward and you're more in the late adolescent, early 20s, you're watching your more adult kids make their faith their own. I always say that is some white knuckle moments right there. But we have to trust the work of the Holy Spirit in that. We can't, as moms, we can't rush in and fix that situation.
No, it's true. It's absolutely true. And I think a part of that is our own walk and our own spiritual life, just to give some space and give some time to for the Holy Spirit, just like you said, to work. And but to keep the lines of communication open as much as we possibly
can. That's right.
With our kids.
I think another thing that we have to, if you have two daughters, I had three kids, and we had a season where one of our three, this is before my husband Rick was killed, one of my three responded kind of powerfully negatively to some situation and kind of made some sweeping generalizations about life as a pastor's kid. Well, it really disturbed Rick, so he pulled the other two kids into a separate conversation, like, do you feel this way? And they're like, no, I don't even know what that's talking about. Do you know what I mean? And so we
yes,
saw in that a very individualistic response. And all, if you've got three kids or you've got five kids, they will not all respond the same to being a PK. And some of them will be more haunted by it than others. And I think the awareness and the patience and the understanding, we just got to be vigilant with that.
Well, it's true, and that's all in knowing your children and their temperaments. I have, our oldest daughter is very strong-willed, and she could just blow things off or think, or say, she could just ignore it and roll her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Our younger daughter is more sensitive, and things would nag at her a little
mm-hmm.
bit more. And
mm-hmm.
that's all comes in knowing your kids and their personalities and keeping that eagle eye out on them,
mm-hmm.
watching and observing how they react to things and to people. And all moms have to do that. All
right.
moms do.
Right.
But especially in the ministry, you just don't want to leave them hanging out there with people that might take advantage of them or speak in an unkind way.
Right.
And even though there may be very, very few of those, and we have had very few of those in our ministry, but I don't care how many you don't have. All it takes is one
mm-hmm.
to really cause them great distress.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that PKs live with lots of expectations, and a lot of us in ministry, we feel this. Pastor's wife feel this too, that people have some expectations, and all the expectations are different. But what
right.
do you think are some of the typical expectations that pastor's kids have to live with?
Oh, I think people want to see the pastor, the PK, in everything,
mm-hmm.
at everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
on the front row with the student ministry and the choir and the mission trip and the small groups and in the middle of everything. And they want to see, you know, someone that kind of conforms to the model of the perfect person.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't realize it, they usually want to see that. And I do think, some of the things like they expect the pastor's child, one of the things you noted on our notes here, Kathy, is that they may expect the pastor's child to be a Bible scholar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when we went to one of our churches, they did a curriculum during the high school year that went all the way through the Bible. It was a very detailed, very theologically deep curriculum. And in their senior year, they had to take a Bible quiz over, like a final
mm-hmm.
on the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And our daughter, that was her senior year, we just moved there. And she came home horrified and said, not only do I have to take this test, but they're going to print the scores in the church bulletin.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so I said, don't worry. If we need to cheat, we will. You will get a good score. I will figure that. We will figure this out for you.
Way to set a good example,
Susie. You know, she knows.
Yeah.
She knew exactly everybody's going to look for her name first, right? You know, to see how she did on the Bible quiz. So she didn't need my help. She did fine and made a good grade, let me just say. But I have never forgotten that and thought, man, that is a heavy expectation on a kid.
But you were willing to cheat if you had to.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
I'm just getting that out there. Okay.
I mean, I'll just confess that right now.
Right. Well, you know what? I think pastors' kids feel like they have a different set of rules than everybody else sometimes. And I mean,
yeah.
I you know what? I don't disagree with that statement. I think they do have some expectations that no one else expects from any other kid in the church.
I totally agree. And you just have to work through that. I think
yeah.
identifying them and talking, you know, Kathy, so much of this is just being able to communicate with your
mm-hmm.
child and try to affirm how they're feeling
mm-hmm.
and give words and language to the way they are looking at things around them. And that's one of the big areas that people just expect more from them than they do anybody
mm-hmm.
else.
You know, one thing that Barnabas mentioned was that pastors' kids need empathy, the need to be understood. And to be honest with you, I look back and I don't think I worked as hard at that as I should have. But just because I know as a pastor's wife how I have felt the need to be understood. And I do think that would go a long way. And that's where I do see like adult pastors' kids kind of still commiserating over their life. And you see the power of that empathy. And I think when we think about our homes, one thing I would encourage, you know, women listening here, if you're like me, you recognize maybe that wasn't my best thing, I would encourage you to work harder on that and to lean in to understand what their journey is like. And you keep using the word communication, but I mean, we really do need to listen to what they're saying. Home needs to be a safe place for them to talk about those things.
I think if there's anything that this conversation should emphasize, it is that home needs to be safe. Parents need to be safe. I think the number one issue, and I think Barnabas identifies this, mm-hmm. is that there's just the number one thing is there's got to be some consistency. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a good consistency, not just some, between what the parents profess to believe and what they live at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the number one thing, I think, is walking out your faith honestly and with authenticity in front of your kids.
Yeah. One of the things he did in the book.
That's the measure. That seems to be the measure
right.
of your effectiveness as a parent, I think.
Well, one of the things he did in the book, he pulled lots of quotes. He had lots of research and he had statements from PKs. And this theme came out in that quite a bit, that there would be consistency from home to the
yeah.
pulpit. And the nature of hypocrisy in a pastor's home can really be destructive to children. And obviously none of us do this perfectly. We're flawed. We need the gospel just like anyone else. But Barnabas said this in particular, and I'm going to read it straight from the book. Parents don't need just to admit they are a sinner. They need to admit sins. It is powerful for kids to see his parents admit, apologize, and work to correct real issues, working out the
yeah.
gospel in their own homes. And I'm telling you what, that is a very important truth. And I mean, when your kids are getting even 9 and 10 and 11 years old and mom or dad has failed and done something, that even then we're leaving a huge imprint when we don't just
yeah.
in general terms, that I'm a sinner like everybody else. In the home, people know the specific sin. So might as well say, look, I was very impatient there and responded. And boy, that is a culture that should be established in the pastor's home. Totally.
Yeah.
It makes everything else they do public, you know, come in alignment with what the kids see them working out the gospel in their own home. And I would encourage every family to identify, is this what's happening in our home? Because we
yeah.
are going to make their journey more complicated with hypocrisy.
Well, and I agree with that, and I totally agree with that, Kathy. And I also believe that confessing your own sins to your kids, saying, I was short with you, I misjudged you, I was legalistic, please forgive me, being able to communicate honestly and openly with them about your own shortcomings is a huge, huge part of that.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing that Barnabas talked about is that, and this is moving along like I've kind of suggested in late adolescence and in early 20s, that, and this should be a long-range goal for a pastor, is to find their own way to live out an authentic faith, even if it's different from their parents. And I think generationally we see, you know, my kids are walking out their faith in a different way than I did. But I
right.
think a good long-range view for your children, we have to take the long look of what will my home produce a disciple? Am I discipling kids that will take their faith and live it out, even if it's different than mine? Do you have any thoughts on that, Susie? What can we say to encourage parents to really take that long look? Because we've raised our kids, they're gone, but what would you say to the younger families on this?
Well, the key, I think, Kathy, is in that first part of that statement that you made, to find their own way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a journey, to use a cliche, to find your way to your own faith. And there's frequently questions and doubts and struggles, and give them the space. They've got to have the space to find that faith.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to what I said, I think, at the very first, which is one thing I have tried to learn and I'm still learning about parenting, and that is to wait on the Lord to work in their hearts and just realize where they are right at this minute may not be where they end up, especially in the adolescent years. Frequently, they go through stages of rebellion or questioning. And then when they're young adults, they settle into their own their own walk with Christ. And so I think too many times I've just freaked out over things or panicked over things that my children did or didn't do that I thought were not right or not spiritual or something. I just needed to just relax and pray and leave them in God's hands. And because they do have to find their own way, they don't get there automatically. It is a process.
My kids have not stayed in the lane that I stayed in many ways, even with the denominations, different things that they've chosen to do with their life. But I'm telling you, I cannot, allowing them to find those different paths, the same journey, just on a different path, has freed me up. It's freed them. And I've seen God, you know, speak to them so uniquely in their journey. It's been very powerful for me to watch them walk that out. And I mean, we don't want them to just, he talked about, and I kind of laughed at this because it seems so kind of small, but about when you leave the denomination your parents were part of. But I understand in some families, that's a really big deal. But that, to me, that's the wrong thing to emphasize.
Well, in a way, I have a daughter who has, one is still in our denomination and one has gone to another Bible, very, very strong church, very Bible believing. So I'm very grateful for that. But you know what, Kathy, I think you should look at that, we should look at that as a healthy thing. I think that's part of, I think they have then developed their own authentic faith and walk with Christ.
Right.
And they have found a place to serve and to worship that fits their family. And they're not just automatically following in the steps of their parents because it's just the thing to do. I see that as an encouragement. I see that as a good thing when that happens.
Another thing, too, to think about is, like, and this is maybe more on the dad side of things, but leave the sermons at church. I think that an authentic relationship of community in the home, dad shouldn't default to his last message, you know? And I think it's kind of easy for pastors to do that. Sometimes you and I know it's not that they're trying to be insensitive. That's just what's on their mind. But I think when Barnabas was kind of using that language, I get what he's saying, that a kid needs dad to not take on that pulpit presence or that pulpit language and to cite his last sermon as a solution for, you know, the issues. And I think that's a really, it's a small thing, but I think it's pretty valid.
Well, I agree. And I think there just always needs to be the communication that the family relationship is important and to the pastor, and that he observes the boundaries and he honors his wife and children, while still being honest and open about the craziness of life, you know, and identifying with his people. You have to do that. But there is a certain protectiveness that I think pastors and their moms and dads need to have with their children who are PKs due to all these things we just talked about.
Let's talk about one more thing before we wrap this up. And it was kind of this idea that pastors need to play more. And that
I'm sorry, I missed that. Pastors need what?
pastors need to play more and there should be more fun. And I just, when I read that section of the book, and I thought, there's a lot of truth to that, because our husbands have serious jobs. They have burdens and there's a lot of nonstop. But a kid, his memory may be out on the ski boat. His memory, he's looking for fun. And I do think that it's and I look back in seasons of our life, there was just a lot of pressure. It wasn't always negative or awful, but the lightness and the joy and the memories that we want to leave with our kids. And I would tell pastors and their families, don't ignore play. Don't ignore fun. Don't ignore those. If you're going to shortchange something in your life, don't let it be that. Because kids will remember those things for a long, long time.
They will. And those times create something. My husband used to always say on a trip or something, just remember, we're creating a memory. Mm-hmm. It creates memories for them that give you, your family, an emotional bond with one another. It creates, you know, inside jokes that you have. It creates playing together, creates an emotional intimacy that few other things happen. And that's one thing my husband and I have talked about. Why didn't we, I mean, we were so afraid of miss. My husband, he still says, why did I think I couldn't ever miss in the summer one Sunday in a row, you know, to go on a real, you know, a little more extended, even if you're just going to see family in another state. I'm not talking about going to Europe or something, but just having a little breathing space in your family schedule and just being together. You don't have to go to Disney World all the time. Just, you know, playing, my husband and daughter, they love to play basketball, play horse, you know, where you make baskets. And those are some of the biggest family fights we ever had, too. I have to say that, I have to confess that. But I really agree with you. And I think that is a good place to wind up with this discussion on PKs.
Yeah, I
agree.
Well, you know what? You and I know you can't go back and undo that. And but yet younger families, that idea of a lightness in the home. I mean, the thing is, you know, I love the word winsome. You've used the word winsome.
Yes.
But I think there needs to be a winsomeness in our home that sometimes is just so, it may be there, but it's so clouded with burdens and with responsibilities. And that's not what I want my kids to think about our home. I don't want my grandkids to think that way about how they're raised. And so I would just encourage younger families, and you're under it right now. You know, there's not much margin in your life, but don't cut out play and what that looks like for your family. We all have a different brand of it. I mean, yours may be music, it may be sports, it may be whatever, but build that in as not just something you get to do when there's that time. Make it a priority in your life too. So we need a fully orb view look of life in a pastor's home. So, well, Susie, thanks for talking about this. I'm sure we're going to have some more conversations about this at another point, because it's a big topic. But I do encourage our listeners, get your hands on Barnabas Piper's book, The Pastor's Kid. I think it'd be very helpful to you. It will help your children. And honestly, it helps the church. It helps us when our families are healthy. It's a good it's a good testimony.
Oh, it is. Because they watch all of us, not just our children.
Right.
They watch our whole family and how we interact with each other. And yes, that is absolutely a good observation.
Susie, thanks for giving us your time today, and look forward to having you again on Flourish.
Thank you, Kathy. Enjoyed it.
The Flourish Podcast is a ministry of the North American Mission Board. For more information about Flourish, visit namb.net/flourish.